Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of Knowing, Reckoning, and Presenting. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul saying, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? The idea there is that these are things that you're supposed to know. Things that we're supposed to know. Number one is that we are dead to sin. So do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. So, first thing, that's the truth. That's what we must know. But now we come to the second step. And look what he says in verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Now, this word reckon, a more relevant translation of it would be consider. Consider it to be the case. So this is what Paul's saying. This is how we get victory over sin. There are certain things we've got to know. We died with Christ. The old man was crucified with him. So now I consider that to be the truth. That's a reality. That's a fact. It's not wishful hoping. It's not a positive confession. It's not just visualize that this is the way it is. This is the way it is. And I lay hold of that as being the truth. So that when the temptation comes my way to revert back to the behavior that the old man practiced, I say to myself, I say to the temptation, I'm dead to that. I died to that. That's no longer the person that I am. Now, know this. Those urges might come. Those opportunities might abound. And there's also the voice of the devil that will come along and say, oh no, you're still that same old person. You can't resist that. That's who you are. That's who you've always been. That's who you are destined to be. Those are lies. And this is where we have to consider being dead to sin, crucified with Christ, to be an absolute reality. That's the way it is. It's not the way it used to be. So you see, there's an element of faith here, where by faith we are laying hold of the truth. And again, as Jesus said, as we're knowing this truth and applying this truth, what's happening? This truth is setting us free. Because those things that bound me, those things that held me captive, are no longer able to control me, because I look at them and say, no, that's the old person. That's the old man. I'm a new creation in Christ. You see, we have to many times preach to ourselves, but if we don't know what to preach, we're in a little bit of trouble. So we've got to know. That was the old man. That was who I used to be. That's what I used to do before Christ saved me, before he made me a new creation. So I consider that to be the case. And then, listen to what he says. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. You know, every sin comes through some temptation, and at every point, we have choices to make. We have choices to make. Am I going to present my members as instruments of righteousness to God and resist this particular thing that I'm being tempted with? Or am I going to once again present my members as instruments of unrighteousness and succumb to this and go back into that captivity that sin had held me in? You see, they're choices that I make. Now, because of the massive influence of psychology on the Christian church today, there are those who would almost give the impression, and some that even might come straight out and say it, that sin is not so much a matter of choice. We don't really have a choice in the matter. Well, to some extent, that's true. If you're not a Christian, you can get to the point where you are so captivated and bound up by sin, you no longer have any ability to exercise your will to get out of it. Sin is more powerful than you. And it can bring you into such a bondage that you cannot get out of it. But if Christ is in you and you're dead to sin and the old man has been crucified with Christ, and if you lay hold of that truth, then that is not the case. That's why Paul says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You see, Paul tells us right there, the reign of sin for the believer is within the power of the believer to stop. I can stop the reign of sin. He says it, do not let sin reign. Now, again, practically, how does that happen? Well, I know those things. I'm dead to sin. I was crucified with Christ. I consider that to be the facts. That's the truth. That's reality. And now the members that I used to present as instruments of unrighteousness, I now take those same members and I present them as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, when we're talking about members, we're talking about our physical bodies as well as our mental powers. Our physical bodies as well as our mental powers. So, Here's what Paul is saying. I must not allow my strength, my energy, my appetites, my speech, my mind, my imagination, my emotions to be used in the service of sin. I must not allow it. And by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit of God, I have the ability to no longer allow it. Now, we all know what it's like to have temptation come our way, to have unwanted thoughts hurled into our mind and so forth. And we can't control that. But what we can control is what we do with it once it comes. And even though there's sometimes strong pressure from without as the temptation is being imposed upon us, and even sometimes there's a corresponding desire from within because we've been there, we've done that, we enjoyed it to some degree, so we might sort of, you know, have an inclination to move back in that direction, there's a point where we say, no, I am not bound to this. I will not take my members and present them over to this. I will not allow my body to go there. I will not allow my energies to be exerted there. I will not allow my mind and my imagination to go there. And as we do that, the Spirit of God then gives us that empowering. And Paul's going to bring us to that as we carry on through these verses. See, the beautiful thing that we have in Christ is we're not alone. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Lord is there to help us. He's there to give us strength beyond our own human strength to be able to, through faith, obtain the victory over these things. So he says, not to present our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but what are we to do? Rather, we are to present ourselves to God. This is where it starts. I am to present myself to God. You know, a verse that has helped me immensely over the years, it's simply this. I am not my own. I was bought with a price. Therefore, I must glorify God in my body and my spirit, which belong to him. That's a truth that has helped me through temptation in my life. I'm not my own. I don't belong to me. I was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. So I have no right to take that which belongs to the Lord and to just go out and do any old thing I feel like doing with it. And this is what Paul is saying here. He's saying that we are to present ourselves to God as being alive from the dead. No, I'm not that person. That person died. And now I am a new person. That wonderful passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. That's what we're talking about here. We have a new life. We're new people. We've been born again. So we're presenting ourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead. And then he says, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So again, our members, our strength, our energy, our speech, our mind, with all of its reasoning powers, imaginations, emotions, all of those kinds of things. That's what he's talking about. We're talking about just ourselves, who we are in our totality. And he says that we are to present them as instruments. And you know, it kind of comes down to this as the picture. I'm either going to be a weapon in the hands of God, a tool in the hand of God, or I'm going to be a weapon and a tool in the hand of the enemy. I want to be a weapon in God's hand. And that's what he's saying. Present your members, all that you have, all that you are, all your strength, your energy, your mental powers, all of those things. Lord, I'm giving these to you to be used as instruments of righteousness, as tools and weapons through which righteous things can be accomplished. Man, if every single believer had that mentality, the world would be a different place. We wouldn't always be struggling. We wouldn't always be floundering. And you know, when we say struggling, that's a euphemism for defeated. But we don't have to lose the fight. We don't have to be defeated. Because God has shown us the way to victory. And all of this is a reality through Christ who lives in us. Christ who dwells in us. So, you know, it's not me exerting all of this human energy to be this better person. It's me just simply realizing Jesus died. And when he died, I died with him. And Jesus rose. And when he rose, I rose with him. And that same Jesus who died and rose, that Jesus lives inside of me. And so now I can go forth in the newness of the Spirit. Because God has put the old man out of business. And I just need to remember that and stand on that as being a reality. And when those opportunities come, when those sin, those temptations to sin come along, and as I'm confronted with those things in that moment, in that instant, I say, no, wait a second. I am not that person. Oh, yes, that might have been who I once was, but I'm no longer that person. And these instruments, these hands, my feet, my mind, my eyes, my ears, my speech, I'm not going to give these things over to unrighteousness any longer. I've done that. I'm no longer going to do that. Lord, I'm going to give these things over to you as instruments of righteousness. So that I'm not going to put my hand to something that God forbids. I'm not going to focus my gaze on something that God forbids. I'm not going to allow my mind to go wandering off into territory that God has prohibited. I can do it. You can do it. We can do it. This is what it's all about. We can do this. Because Christ lives in us. And he's told us that this is the truth. And as we grab hold of it, and as we say, this is reality, this is the new reality. You know, the world's got its version of reality. But it's not reality. We must get our understanding of reality. We must get our understanding of what is true, we must get it from the Word of God. The world has a whole view of everything that is essentially false. And the world wants to label you with false identities. Well, you're this, and you're that, and they're that. And you're always going to be that. And you can never be anything else. And this is just who you are. And this is your identity. And the world is always putting these kinds of identities on people. And sadly, people let it stick. And they say, well, this is who I am. That's not who you are in Christ. You have a whole new identity in Christ. You're not the same person. That person, referred to as the old man, that person is dead. And there's a new person now who's alive in Christ and because of Christ. And through the Spirit of Christ, you can now walk in the newness of life. And Paul says then finally in verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What does he mean by that? We'll get more into that in chapter 7, because chapter 7 is essentially a sort of an explanation of that verse. But what Paul is saying is that sin shall not have dominion over us. Why? Because we have the power of Christ to give us victory. That's the contrast there. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, but under grace. Under the law, it's your own power. Under the law, it's your own best efforts. And through those efforts, you end up still bound by sin. Because the law or any set of rules or anything like that does not supply you with any power to break the dominion of sin. But grace is the power of God that breaks the dominion of sin. You see, as we said before, grace is not just a theological concept. Grace is the power of God that flows from Him to us by the Spirit and frees us from bondage to sin. And so this is a promise from God. Take it, receive it, believe it, stand on it. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you're under grace. There's not a single Christian that should be bound up in sin. Because as we pointed out before, God has an endless supply of grace. And as we apply that grace by knowing, reckoning, and presenting, the victory is ours. Now, one last thing. And of course, we're coming back to this again. But it doesn't mean there's not a battle. It doesn't mean that we won't have our struggles. It doesn't mean that there won't be times when there is some heavy temptation coming our way. But what it does mean is that even when that happens, there's victory there for us. The flesh and the spirit will continue to war against one another as long as we're in these bodies. But the wonderful promise is this: walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit. Know you're dead. Know you've been crucified. Know that it's a once for all finalized thing. Consider that to be the truth. That's what's true. That's what's true about you. That's the reality. You're not the person you used to be. God said He's made you a new creature in Christ. And now, you take your members, and instead of doing what you used to do with them, presenting them as weapons of unrighteousness to sin, now you take those same members and you present them as weapons, as tools, as instruments of righteousness to God, and sin will not have dominion over you. You see, that's the thing about the Christian. We're not sinless. When we become Christians, we don't become sin-free. The distinction, though, is that we're no longer bound by sin. We're no longer held captive by sin. We're no longer under the dominion of sin. In other words, to put it simply, before you became a believer, sin was the rule of your life. When you become a believer, sin is the exception rather than the rule. That's the difference. Sin is no longer the rule. It's now the exception. I still sin. You still sin. We all still sin, but it's the exception. I'm no longer living in sin. I'm no longer daily walking in sin. I'm no longer practicing sin. I still sin. And when I sin, I'm convicted. And when I'm convicted, I say, Lord, forgive me. And He does that instant. And I keep moving forward. That's the picture. That's the truth. Sin has no dominion over us any longer because the one that was under the dominion of sin is dead. And like we said, sin's got no hold on a dead man. So sin's got no hold because that person's dead. crucified with Christ and risen with him as well.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Slaves of Righteousness. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Knowing, Reckoning, and Presenting. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0129. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.